This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. California election officials say this week's recall vote went surprisingly well. There were few reported problems with voting equipment, though some researchers claim tens of thousands of punch card ballots weren't counted. That claim has yet to be verified, and the number of ballots would not have affected the outcome. But those questions are just part of national debate over how elections are run. NPR's Pam Fessler has more.
After the voting debacle of 2000, Florida counties dropped punch card machines like the hot potatoes they were. Broward County replaced them with new computerized touchscreen voting equipment, only to run into more problems and this late-night count in 2002.
Precinct 75R, total public count 181.
Now, county officials think they might want to replace the touchscreen machines. They'd like to have some kind of paper ballot that voters can see. Suzanne Gunsberger is a county commissioner.
I want to know that my vote counted the way I wanted it to. And when it disappears from the screen, even though I've reviewed it, you still wonder.
Broward is looking into optical scan machines that read paper ballots marked by voters. Another option, although a costly one, is to retrofit the touchscreens so a backup ballot can be printed and displayed. Nearby Miami-Dade County is also considering a similar change to its touchscreen machines. It's all part of the continuing confusion that surrounds efforts to fix the nation's election system. Congress passed legislation last year to provide $4 billion to help state and local governments buy new voting equipment. But the effort's moving much more slowly than many had hoped.
We click Start Voting, and we have two candidates for president, John Doe and Mary Smith.
Barbara Simons is with the Public Policy Committee of the Association for Computing Machinery. She uses her laptop to try to make the case that computers aren't always reliable. She's one of a number of computer scientists waging an aggressive campaign against touchscreen machines.
Okay, we're going to vote for John Doe. So we click John Doe.
As she does, a box with Doe's name in it is highlighted, just as it might be on a touchscreen voting machine.
And then the computer comes up and says, for president, your vote is John Doe. And is that right or wrong? Well, that's right, so I hit correct.
But, says Simons, what a voter sees on the screen might not always be what registers inside.
Well, we go to the display, and what do we discover? We discover that Mary Smith won anyway, because what the writer calls the fraudulent voting machine, or fraudomatic, as I like to call it, simply reversed all the votes.
But those who make touchscreens, as well as many election officials, vehemently deny this could happen. They say the equipment is tested and retested by outside parties, and there are plenty of safeguards. They point to a new study of touchscreen voting in Maryland that found some security flaws, but said they could be fixed. Simons insists there's no way for the public to really know. At the very least, a paper ballot would be reassuring and useful in an election recount.
I think it's fear-mongering and ignoring the facts.
Jim Dixon is vice president of the American Association of People with Disabilities. He worries a campaign against touchscreens could slow efforts to ensure that every voting place in the country has equipment by 2006 that allows the blind and disabled to cast their ballots in private. That's something touchscreen machines are designed to do.
Is it possible for a computer to accidentally, or for a computer nerd to mess up an election? Yes. It's also possible that my blindness will be cured, but it's not very likely.
Dixon says his group will sue if the new accessibility requirements aren't met. Doug Chapin is with ElectionLine.org, a nonpartisan group that monitors efforts to upgrade the nation's election process. He says the dispute over electronic voting has left many officials uncertain about what to do. Their problems have been aggravated by a delay in federal funding and by some of the bitter fallout from the 2000 elections.
I would characterize the current debate as really quite nasty.
It didn't help matters when it was revealed that Walden O'Dell, president and CEO of Diebold, one of the top manufacturers of touchscreen voting machines, is a major Republican fundraiser. In one fundraising letter this summer, O'Dell wrote he was, quote, committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes for President Bush next year. Democrats said it was like having a fox guarding the hen house. But Mark Radke, Diebold's voting industry director, says what O'Dell does on his own time has no influence on the company's product.
And quite honestly, with a 144-year history in security, Diebold is not about to even risk anything like that. Again, it's, I think, quite honestly, a ridiculous idea.
On the other hand, Ratke's quick to point out that the author of a study criticizing Diebold's voting machines, Avi Rubin of Johns Hopkins University, was on an advisory board of a competitor. Rubin says that had no influence on his findings, and he's since resigned from the advisory board. Doug Chapin of ElectionLine.org thinks things will gradually work out. A number of states, such as Maryland and Ohio, are moving forward with touchscreen machines, and many voters who used them in California this week said they were pleased with the results. Mark Ratke of Diebold thinks these experiences will, over time, prove the most persuasive arguments of all. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.